that God put in my life, and her name was Joanne Garber. And I'll tell you, and I'm not going to cry. Ooh, there he came, just early. Man, Joanne, oof. She was this normal but an incredible woman of God. She was a housewife, and she was a mother. And when she first came into my life, she was a teacher's aide. And she loved Jesus with all her heart. Oh, my goodness. And she loved to worship, and she was always singing songs to the Lord. She was on our worship team, and I remember her always, at that time when people listened to CDs. Anybody remember these things called CDs? Yeah. I still can't get rid of mine. You know, when you still have the box, you're like, I'm not ready yet. She would give me these worship CDs and books and forward messages that had just impacted her life. And she later one day came on staff as the church treasurer. And she was a powerful women's minister and a prayer warrior. She always had a home group, always. Always had a home Bible study, would just teach women in her home. And she had a gift. It was probably the first person ever really got around this gift besides my dad. She had this prophetic gifting in her, just beautiful. She could just so hear the voice of the Lord and just see into the Spirit. And by being around her, that's how I learned those things, just by doing life with her. So her and her husband, Buck, they would come stay at our house when my parents would go out of town and watch us four kids run amok. And she was just so fun and full of wisdom and joy and laughter. That woman laughed. Like, throw your head. You know when people are a secure laugher and they just throw their head back and laugh and you just want to join with them? That was Joanne. And she just took an interest in me. I don't know why. And I just kind of became this adoptive, she became my adoptive auntie, like truly. I was actually closer to her than my own blood aunts. And it just really started out with her inviting me to go out to lunch with her and run errands. And you know, when you don't have a car, you are so excited to get out of your house, because I was the oldest of four kids, and run errands with this lady. And she would always play worship in the car. And man, she'd take me shopping. I just did life with her. I remember just going to hang out at her house. I just loved being around her. She was just full of the life of God. And when she'd make hog maw, anybody know what hog maw is? Yeah, she made the best hog maw, and she'd invite me over for dinner, and she always had a stash of peppermint patties and would slip them to me. Her favorite color was teal and mint, and she wore it all the time. I saw Denise, I was like, that was a Joanne outfit, it made me miss her. And to this day, my favorite color is teal, probably because of her. She always wore teal glasses, and I wore them too. And she was just full of stories and life experiences, and I don't know how to say this. I think I just soaked everything up. I was just around her and just soaked it up, what she had to say. She was older than my mother, and I just loved hanging out with her. She was bold and beautiful and feminine, and she was very opinionated. she made me think about life differently. Joanne was different than me, but a good different. I would think about God differently, life differently, people differently. She would just challenge me. And I realized that you could have a really close, intimate relationship with Jesus and still be cool and normal and not weird and relatable. Come on. Okay, listen, as a teenager growing up in church, like, I needed to know that was possible, okay? And I just wanted that same deep kind of relationship she had with Jesus, and I wanted to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit like she did. And I just wanted to sing in the Spirit like she did and flow like her. And I would say this, Joanne just being in my life helped me launch in my own spiritual journey of finding that close walk with him. And I'm different than her, but I'll tell you this, like, I soaked up everything she had to give. And she did help me through college. I lived in Oklahoma for 11 years. And man, when things would hit the fan, I would call her and she'd pray with me. And near or far, whether I lived in Oklahoma or I moved here, she was always one of my first phone calls, walked me through the hardest times of my life. And you know, I would say later on, you know, when you get a little older and wiser, I was like, Joanne, you're my mentor. And she never called herself that. It was never a formal thing. I just realized she poured into my life. And it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't a formal thing. She never goes, I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to mentor you. I just realized later that's what she was just naturally doing by spending life with me. And she really made me into who I am today. Who I am in ministry today is because this woman poured into my life. And I don't think I would be where I am today without her. She passed away in February. I missed her a lot. I think about her, and then I go, I get to hang out in heaven with her one day. And I
am so grateful for the treasure that she was to me. She was a treasure. She wasn't this. She opened up her life as a treasure chest and let me into it. And I got it. I'm okay. So now I'm going to go preach, but I had to share this story of why this message on discipleship means so much to me and why it's not a formal program. I'm not putting a formal program together. I am encouraging you to do life with each other because it's so much more powerful when it's just this natural overflow. I just want to hang out with you, and I just want to give you everything I got and what Jesus has talked to me about. I want to share in your life. So today, I want us to learn together how to leverage the treasure that is you. The word leverage means to use something you already possess to achieve something greater. To use something you already possess, the treasure that is you, your life experiences, your stories, your successes, your failures, and learn to use that to achieve something greater in someone else, to pour into someone else's life, to make them greater so they can go further, so they can stand on your shoulders and go further than you in life. That's what a mentor does. That's what it means to disciple someone else. And that is the definition of a very healthy spiritual mother and a spiritual father. It's not stay behind me. It's go farther than me, stand on my shoulders. And I want you to know every single one of you has the same opportunity, because how many know we're a bunch of normal people? The world needs normal Christians that love Jesus. And it's not just an opportunity. We're going to dig into scripture today. It's actually a responsibility. And we have to reach back in our stories and our knowledge and our life skills. How many people know how to change the oil in your car? Did you know there's an entire generation that needs to know how to change their oil? I'm telling you. Brad gets a lot of emergency phone calls on how to patch tires, change oil, fix cars, replace pipes. They just need these life skills because, you know, they didn't have family that showed that to them. And in that process, we laugh, we crack jokes, we get takeout, share wisdom, and pray and pour Jesus into them. That's, people need normal people that love Jesus. And you got to reach back into those life skills and reach back into your story and the faithfulness of God in your life and learn how to leverage that. What? To pour into someone else so they can go greater and farther than you. And this is for the benefit of people that are coming along behind you. When I say this, you know, sometimes we kind of, how do I say this? In this church, I preach spiritual maturity is not bound by age. How many people know that? I've met some really wise 18-year-olds, man, and I want to say this. It's not so much about finding someone that's so much younger than you. Just find someone that's just a little bit behind you. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you've just been walking with the Lord maybe even a year longer than them, and maybe something you just know, a skill set that they don't know, and learn to pour into them. And this isn't something that's done from a microphone or a stage. How many people know that? This is done by just the overflow of doing life with people. So I want you to forget all of your excuses you've been trying to conjure up for the last 2 weeks as I've been preaching this, because I'm going to throw them all out the window today. Because they're lies from Satan. And he is telling you that you are not worthy, not good enough, not qualified. I'm just average. Nothing extraordinary to teach. How about this one? You don't know how much I've messed up my life. I am a danger to pour into someone else. No, this is all a bunch of excuses. because I want to say this, 2 Corinthians 3:5-6, this is the power of the gospel. It says, not that we are fit, qualified, or sufficient in our ability to do anything on our own, but our power and our ability and qualification come from God. It is he who qualified us, making us to be fit, worthy, and sufficient as ministers and dispensers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ. Everybody say, I'm qualified in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:12 says this, giving thanks to God who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. You're like, I'm not a saint. Bible says you are. It says, in the kingdom of light, you are qualified to receive any and every blessing from God, not because of what you have done, but based on what Jesus did for you. How many people know that Jesus has walked us through some really hard times? And we are qualified to share those things with other people because what he has done for and in us. Not because, how many people know, we don't have it all figured out. We're figuring it out along the way with him. So I want to help you see your life differently today. And I have a graphic on the screen. And it's I want you to see this. I want you to see that your life is like a treasure chest. It is a unique blend of experiences, stories, knowledge, insight, wisdom from successes, failures, relationships, travels, opportunities, challenges, and losses. You're a unique treasure. And in order for your life to make an impact and leave a legacy, you must learn how to leverage your life story for the sake of some other people that are coming up along behind you. And I'm going to kick you on this one. I want it to be outside of your family, outside of your us four, no more, small circles and cliques of familiarity. Because how many people know that sometimes familiarity, people won't listen to you because they're so familiar with you? And that's why God goes, I want you to get outside your little comfortable circle because there is a world that's banging down the door that wants to listen to you. And there's a generation desperate. How about, I'm going to say this. There is a generation desperate. Raise your hand if you know. A generation is desperate for wisdom. And I'm going to say this. They're desperate for wisdom on marriage. You would know this. You know, and you might say the excuse, well, you don't know. My marriage is definitely no model marriage. You might use the excuse, you don't know, I've had a really rough ride of marriage. Well, I want to tell you, you are the better candidate because for the people coming along behind you, because if you think you're disqualified just because you had a rough bout, or maybe you're even on your second marriage, I want to say this, you're even more qualified and a better candidate to speak into other people's life. If you've been through a divorce, you know it is not the easy answer. It is not God's plan, and it happens, yeah, but you'll be able to get in someone else's life and say, listen, I've been there, and let me tell you, God is bigger, and his grace comes in like a flood, and the fat lady hasn't sing, and it's not over, and we're going to go fight for this. How many people know if you've had a rough ride in marriage and you've had some failures, you're probably the most qualified to speak into someone's life because they're more apt to listen to you. Because a lot of people get a little shut down and nervous when someone that's had an easy run in marriage tries to speak into their life. It's the truth. I want us to learn how to grab those experiences and not let shame hide them, and learn to grab them and leverage them so someone can go farther and greater than us. Many of you have raised kids. Some of you have lost children. Some of you know the pain of loss. Some know the pain of having a prodigal son or daughter. And standing in the gap and praying down every day till they came home. Some of you don't want to tell your stories because you believe the lie from Satan that these stories reflect poorly on you. And how many people know that is a lie? Because these very stories are what equip you the most. It gives you a unique message for the generation coming along. And they are the stories they want to hear the most. Because if you've been through it and you didn't quit and you got through it, you got a story to tell. Some of you have had great leadership and business opportunities. Some of you have handled them well, and some of you have handled them not so well. Opportunities have come and gone. Some were missed. There were business losses, bankruptcies. There were failures. We've learned from them. And instead of being embarrassed by those failures, God has given you wisdom in your treasure chest that is you, that is for a voice to a generation coming along behind you, because they want to learn from these same failures and these same excesses. And most of, how many people know we learn the most from failures? We learn the most from our own failures, and my goodness, we learn from other people's failures. Some of the most successful business owners have had a couple failures along the way. And we have a whole generation that says, I want to build my own business. I don't even know where to start. And you go, well, I can tell you not where to start. And I can tell you not to quit. There's just so much in you, in the treasure that's you. Many of you guys have learned to work really hard for money. How many people know it takes hard work? Okay, things don't come naturally, right? Or easily. And some have handled their finances better than others. Some have invested them and grew financially. Some have lost. How many people besides myself remember the last economy crash, 2008, 2009? Some people lost their entire retirement. Some people lost their home and their cars, and it was just the way life played out. And as a lot of people have been shaking in their boots in this economy, you can encourage them going, you know what? The Lord walked me through it, and he'll walk you through it too. Let me give you wisdom to budget for the good times and the bad times and the hard times. And I'll teach you how to tighten that belt, and I'll teach you how to give and put God first in your tithes and offerings so he goes before you and covers you and blesses you. I will teach you how to give into other people's lives instead of hoard it for your own, so the blessing and favor of God protects you through these things. How many people have learned how to save for a car and a house? Okay, let me tell you. You don't really know how much you've learned in your life financially until you sit down with a 25-year-old. I'm serious. Auntie Joyce, would you wave your hand here? I've sent half our young adults group to our Aunt Joyce over here, our adoptive auntie, just to sit down with them and teach them a budget, income, expenses. You can't spend more than you have coming in, how to save and budget. It's been life transforming for none of them, but it also takes a lot of patience, right, Joyce? They are so grateful for your patience. It's my favorite thing to recruit retirees for. If you have a little extra time and would like to be a financial mentor and a spiritual mentor into one of my young adults' life, I would love to connect you. If you're a good cook, they would really appreciate that as well. all right. How many of you have had struggles in your health? Real talk. Have had some real struggles and challenges when you got some big doctor's diagnosis? And you learned to turn to the Lord, and you've learned to dig into his word and find the promises of God to stand on, and found out that Jesus was the healer, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And stand on the word, no matter what doctor's report was saying, and you saw victory as God walked you through some of the hardest battles in your life and brought you to a place of healing. And you said, we are cancer-free in the name of Jesus. Praise God. We have people in our building like that. That is a story that many people need to hear in the midst of it. We've all had some sort of conflict in life every day, right? Relationship conflicts, money conflicts, work conflicts, health conflicts, in-law conflicts, conflicts with your parents, conflicts with your siblings. Everybody's checking all the boxes. Legal conflicts, lawsuits. You know, Satan will also often use that negative failure mindset to tell you that you are unworthy to pour into someone else's life, that your failures for some reason disqualify you, but actually that makes you the best candidate and the best voice, the best vehicle to communicate wisdom into other people's lives. All of us have a story about our spiritual journey. Highs and lows. Raise your hand if you're in a high. Raise your hand if you're in a low. Raise your hand if we're in it, period. Right? We're in this journey. Sometimes I ask people, how you doing? They go, we're here. I was like, that's right. We're here and we're sticking with him. We're sticking together. I told you, there's been many days I could barely get through the back door of that church in those really hellish seasons of my life. We're here and our God is good and he is faithful. And he put us in the context of church community and church family so we don't quit and persevere past this. So some people, we all have this story of trying to find that path, of trying to find that deeper walk with Jesus. Some of us grew up in church and some of us left church for a season. And you are probably some of the most qualified people to pour into people's lives about the power of plugging into church and church community and deep connective relationships and how to not just, because you're having a hard time, blame God and give up on church altogether. Just because you've been hurt doesn't mean you leave it, right? Some of you have wrestled in your faith, and some of you have even left your faith and denied your walk with Christ for a season and came back. You are incredibly qualified to pour into a generation that is still trying to find theirs. And I'll tell you, they'll be more apt to listening to you than they will some of the other people. Everyone's story is relatable. Everyone's story on their faith journey is powerful. But please don't bury yours. You know, we have so many excuses that we use to reason ourselves out of it. Out of these opportunities to pour and disciple people. You know, I think Paul had every excuse in the world, and I'm going to read some of his, and let's talk about what he did in life. 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul said, this is the Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle to walk the face of the earth. For I am the least of all the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. Paul was incredibly flawed. He was probably the least qualified. He was a murderer. Persecuted Christians, like dragging women into the streets and imprisoning them. It was awful, some of the things he did. He held the coats of people while they stoned Stephen, an innocent young man of God, to death. Yet God chose him. He actually went out of his way to choose Paul and say, I have chosen you. I have qualified you in Christ Jesus. I will pour everything I know into you, right? He didn't even physically walk with Jesus. He hung out with them. They didn't write much about him for like 13 years. He was just hanging out with the Lord. And Paul, he did so much. He built more churches and discipled more people. He wrote half of the New Testament. Ephesians 3:8, Paul says again, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles and the boundless riches of Christ. The best mentors, The best spiritual mothers and fathers are overcomers, they're super flawed, and they're relatable. You know, Joyce Myers, why is she so powerful? Because she airs her dirty laundry. She says every mistake and failure she's ever had. She says every embarrassing story. I'm like, oh, Joyce, wow, you just said that. I love it. I can't stop listening to you. We love these people that just leverage what every mistake and every failure, every embarrassment they've ever had and go, this is my life. But you know what? If you learn from it, it's worth it. It's not a mistake if it helps someone else. Your past does not disqualify you, even if it was yesterday's big old fat argument. You're still qualified to pour into someone else's life on the topic of marriage. Why? Because if you're having that fight, they're probably having it too, okay? And they might just need a prayer partner to say, hey, don't give up. Call me. Let's go out to dinner. You know what? Follow me as I follow Christ. We're going to figure it out together. You know, sadly, we often convince ourselves that our lives are not the treasure chests that they are. And we wrongly believe the lie that Satan says, you really don't have anything to offer. Many of us are ashamed of our past decisions, and we think, I don't have much to give, but I got a lot of skeletons in the closet. I have a lot of those, you saw in that treasure chest, skeletons that I'm burning real deep in my treasure chest. Things that you don't want anyone to know, the very last story you'd want anyone to hear from you. And you wrongly believe that that skeleton in your treasure chest disqualifies you from being used by God to pour into anyone else's life. But those are the parts of our story that they so desperately need to hear. And if you surrender that to the Lord promises in Romans 8:28, when we pray, those deep heartfelt prayers, praying in the Spirit, when we pray, he promises, what? It says this, we are assured and know that God being a partner in our labor, all things, everybody say all things, work together and are fitted into a plan for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose and design. So I'm going to say this. Those stories that you're trying to hide, those stories of embarrassment, I'll tell you, God is bubbling up to the surface. And God will put someone in your life. In this conversation, it might be in line at the grocery store. You might be sitting next to him at the PTA meeting, standing next to him at the bus stop, in the break room at work. You might be sitting in the waiting room at the mechanic. And the Holy Spirit just says, I just want you to start that conversation. And as you start that conversation, like Jesus on the road to Emmaus when he was talking to those two disciples, that was Luke 24, and it says, don't you, our hearts are burning within us. There's just something like your heart starts beating a little faster. You get that feeling in your stomach. That's Holy Spirit. He says, don't worry about what you're going to say. Just start talking and share your story with them. Share who I am in your life. And I'll tell you, man, God will give you an opportunity and lives will transform around you. They're going to want what you got. It doesn't mean because you're perfect. It's because you didn't quit. It's perseverance, right? You know, Jesus nailed shame to the cross 2,000 years ago. He redeemed our story for glory, for his glory, so we can help other people. But you can't afford to bury it, the buried treasure that is you. Because burying your story only delays other people finding their freedom in Christ Jesus. You are a unique combination of successes, failures, and experiences. Stories that have formed the treasure that is you. And the question here I'm asking you today is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the treasure that is you? Because sadly, most people bury it in their insecurity, in their selfishness, in the laziness sometimes. We choose to not share the treasures, the buried stories in our lives, when we choose to not pour into other people. And it's our choice, and you know, I understand that, but you have to understand this, that when you choose not to open up the stories in your life and you bury it, the value of your life ends with you. It's as much as you share with other people. I asked my husband if I could share this story. Brad had a wonderful grandfather, and he had a special gold watch that was custom made. It was of the highest quality, and it was handcrafted. It had ivory features in it from the made from the elk and reindeer like bones that it shot. So, come on. This is a hunting, fishing kind of church, okay? That's a big deal when you put your, like, most prized, you know, they normally kind of are up on the altar of the mantle, right? But he had some of that made into this watch. It was his most treasured possession. And in his will, he asked that when his time would be that he would pass on, that he wanted to be buried with his watch. And instead of passing it down the family line. And I'll say this, he was very much loved by his family. And it was his watch. It was his most treasured possession. And they honored that. And I never heard anybody talk about it in a negative way. But I couldn't help but think about it when my husband was telling me about this watch, was how sad it was that it was lost forever, buried with this wonderful man. And had it been passed down to any member of his family, a watch like that someone's going to ask about. And you have gotten to share probably at least once a week, maybe every day, the story of your grandfather and his exploits and adventures, his victories and losses, and what he meant to you in his life. This is an example of what we do when we bury the story, the treasure that is you, and we choose to not share it outside of our own family circles sometimes. Because it's meant to be passed on from generation to generation to the people around us. You know, whether these are good or bad stories, victories, losses, failures, beauty, or pain, all the wisdom that is gained sometimes is lost forever when we choose to bury it and not take on someone to mentor, to disciple, to just do life with. You know, Jesus shared his stories everywhere he went. He would go out of his way. Hey, Zacchaeus, way up in a tree. I'm coming to your house today. You know what? I don't care if you're kind of a crook. No one else likes you. I'm coming to your house today. I'm going to share my word and stories with you. Jesus used parables. We're going to talk about two parables as we end this today. The parables are stories, spiritual truths, right? Stories that illustrate spiritual truths. So I want you to never underestimate the power of your story and what Jesus has done in your life. And even the scripture of the day, you woke up that morning, you dug into the word, and that one scripture just highlighted on the page, just jumped off the page into your heart. And that's the scripture. You went to the break room and you saw someone that had red eyes and a black eye. And you go, that man needs some encouragement. You're just going to sit beside him, share your story of the pain, of the challenges you've been through, and go, you know what? I was reading this today and I think this scripture's for you too. And you allow the word of God not only to transform you, to pour out and to transform someone else's life. What are you going to do with the treasure that is you? I don't want you to miss this unique opportunity to leverage everything that the Lord has done in your life and find a way to pour it into someone else, to someone else that is coming up just a little bit behind you. Maybe just a little bit younger than you. Maybe just they don't quite know the Lord as much. Maybe they don't know much about Holy Spirit and how to flow in the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you might just know just a little bit more. What are you going to do with the treasure that is you? Because I want to say this, the value of a life is always determined by how much of it is given away. I'm going to say that again. The value of a life is always determined by how much of it was given away. The value of your life is determined by how much of it you choose to pour in to the people around you. It doesn't have to be a formal program. It's honestly normally more successful when it's not. Come do life with me. Come run errands with me. Let me teach you how to do this thing. And as I do, let me talk about what Jesus has done in my life. Or the recent, I don't know, challenge that you're going through and the hardship you're going through. And you know, I'm going through a hard time, but you know what? God's got me every step of the way. And you know what? You're going to go through a hard time too. And let me teach you how to anchor yourself in Christ Jesus. I was thinking about this. My favorite celebration of life service. And I've been to some wonderful ones for my own family, even recently. But my favorite one that I've ever been to, I think because it was outside my own family and I found out things I didn't know, was an old family friend called Ted Faby. Anybody remember Ted Faby? Oh my goodness. Right? Oh, I could cry. I literally was at the First Assembly of God on the Susquehanna Trail at that time. And Ted Faby, man, he was a loving husband. Oh, he adored his wife. Man, their story was just beautiful. He was an incredible father. He had 8 kids and tons of grandkids. I can't even remember how many grandkids he has. He was a neighbor, a teacher, and during the summer, he was a painter. And, you know, when you think about that, if you have 8 children, you don't have a lot of extra time. You know, I talk to parents, they're like, oh, you don't understand, I got kids. I was like, you're right. You don't sleep for 10 years, but you know what? Don't go to Walmart alone, okay? In fact, you'll probably need the help. You'll need a support system just to go into Walmart with 4 children, okay? But he scraped up time, and this really blew me away. He found a way to disciple men. And I found this out at his funeral. I didn't know this. I just always knew him as this wonderful man of God. And actually, his wife was the one that told my mom that, hey, you're in labor. You need to get to the hospital. Gave her all the advice on having children. So anyway, Ted Faby, he would go to the paint store. Because remember, he was a painter during the summer. And he'd always tell a guy to meet him there or bring somebody there. And they'd get a free cup of coffee at the paint store. And they'd sit outside in his car and he'd share life with him and pray with him and encourage him, just share his walk with God. And I could cry. I can still picture where I was sitting at the Celebration of Life service. This is, gosh, I don't know, 5 years ago. It was before the pandemic when everything was blurry. And I cried hearing all these men that was discipled by this husband, father, teacher, painter, just by what, once a week going to the paint store and saying, meet me for a free cup of coffee. Ted Fabie found a way to reach back and leverage the treasure in his life and scrape together just a little bit. And lives were transformed. How many know when men pour into men, whole family trees are transformed? I don't want you to miss the greatest opportunity of your lifetime to leverage your life stories. I want to challenge you in this. Sometimes, like I said, we only pour into our families. We only open up to our families. That's familiar. It's comfortable. But once again, that familiarity sometimes, how do I say this? How many people's kids don't listen to them? It's not because you're not an amazing person or an amazing parent. It's just because you're a parent and your kids don't want to listen to you for another 20 years, okay? When they have their own kids going, how did you do this? My kids are driving me crazy, okay? But I want to say this, just because your kids aren't listening to you now doesn't mean there's not some other kid out there or some other adult that wasn't so desperate for you to speak and to pour into their life. Sometimes it's just a timing thing. They desperately need a mentor, a spiritual mother, and a spiritual father just like you. And they will value the treasure that is you. So as Christians and as followers of Jesus, as disciples, how many people are a follower of Jesus? There are people that say they're Christians, but they're not following Jesus. That means you're following his word. So if you actually take the word of God seriously, if you actually believe you're supposed to do the word of God, discipleship is not an opportunity. It is the responsibility, and it's actually a command in the Bible. So Matthew 28, 18 through 20, this is a Message translation. This is everybody called the Great Commission. We know this thing, right? And we like to skip over it because we like our little church ministries. I love my ministry. I love my little box that everything's organized with, and I just do my thing, and I like check my box, and yay, I'm serving in church. Did you know you can serve in church every week and not have any deep, meaningful relationships and not have people you're actually pouring into and praying and connecting with? Do you know you can serve in church every week and not be doing the greatest commission ever? And which is here. It says, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out of this box and make disciples. Train everyone you meet, far and near, in the way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, I love the Message translation, every day, right up until the end of the age. So these are the parting words of Jesus Christ. How many of you love movies when like the hero rides off into the sunset or goes up in the rocket ship, if you're a sci-fi person like me? Those parting words are the most important words. They are the most memorable instructions. And Jesus's parting words, the instructions that he gave you were actually a command. It was not a suggestion. And we treat it like that. Oh, that's nice, Jesus, thank you. You know, I should be making disciples, but I'm super busy right now. I'll just wait till all my kids are out of school. I'm just going to let it hang in the air, all those excuses. It's fine. All right, you done? You done with all your excuses? Okay. We need to learn to reconnect with the Great Commission. And a lot of us are going to need to get over ourselves and our long line of excuses because really we're just insecure and we're hiding in our own busyness because it makes us feel important. And a lot of us are just lazy. Oh, sorry. It says it in the Bible. We're going to talk about it. It's okay. We need to learn how to just reconnect with people. Some of us after a pandemic are struggling in our social skills. How many people know people that are struggling in their social skills after this pandemic? And you need to forgive people that have hurt you and abandoned you, stabbed you in the back, and let God heal your heart and start opening up the life that God has given you, the treasure chest is you, to share it with other people. Because I want to say this, we need to share our stories. We need to share what Jesus has done in our life because this is how you make disciples. So throughout Jesus's ministry, he taught us that we're going to one day be accountable to God for how we lived our lives. And at some point, we are going to leave this world and go to heaven. And you're going to give an account to how you lived your life. My Joanne is in heaven right now. And I'm giving an account to how that woman of God lived. And she taught me how to disciple so I could make disciples and do the same thing. You know, Jesus shared many parables about this component in the kingdom of God, about the accountability of how we lived our life when we go to heaven. And one day you're going to go and stand before God, and he's going to say, my pastor in Tulsa used to always say this. He says, God's going to say, what'd you do with my stuff? What'd you do with my stuff? What did you do with the treasure that is you? Did you bury it in insecurity? Did you justify it with busyness and all the disqualification that the scripture says you are super qualified in Christ? So I want to talk about two parables, and I'm going to kind of combine them for the sake of time here. I want to talk about the parable of the minas. And this one is not as talked about as much as the parable of the talents, but they're very similar. And in this parable, it's in Luke chapter 19, if you want to open your Bibles there. Luke chapter 19, 12 through 26. The parable of the minas, Jesus told his followers about a king whose gifts were given to his servants to be invested, not buried. So once again, a parable is a story to illustrate an important spiritual truth. So Luke 19, 12 through 26, we're going to read through some of it here. Jesus said, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Sounds a little familiar? And before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver. The Amplified Bible says this, he gave them 10 minas apiece, each equal to about 100 days' wages. So that's like, you know, 3 months' wages. That's a pretty good chunk of change, right? And he said here, invest this for me while I'm going away. So there's some great investment potential, and everybody got the same amount in this parable, which was different than the other one. And the king had expectations of the servants multiplying, right? The treasure that was invested in them, he wanted them to multiply this into the opportunities around them. All right, so Luke chapter 10, verse 15, we're going to pick up. He returned and called in to the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. The first servant reported, Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount. Well done, the king exclaimed. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you. So you will be governor over 10 cities as your reward. I want you to remember this. His reward is you will now be governor over 10 cities. Was given money, his reward was responsibility over more people. Interesting. The next servant reported, Master, I invested your money and I made 5 times the original amount. Well done, the king said. You will be governor over 5 cities. Not all rewards in life are monetary. You know, reward comes, it's very interesting, there are certain promises in the Word of God, right? You know, there are also certain commandments in the Word of God. The Lord said to tithe, take 10% and give it back and support the gospel, right? And a lot of people have said, well, I tried it and it didn't work. Why? Because you're not a millionaire and you don't drive a Porsche right now. Okay, but maybe the Lord was rewarding you in the rich wealth of people around you and lives transform and the fact that you don't go to bed every night depressed and anxious and lonely, feeling purposeless because God has surged your life full of people and a growing ministry. What do we value the most in life? Is it people or money? I mean, come on. It's just interesting. The greatest treasure of all is people. The currency of heaven is people. These deep, meaningful relationships that God wanted us to disciple. And you go, well, you know, I don't have that much capacity right now, right? I don't have that much time. Remember Ted Faby? Going to the paint store once a week. Going to the grocery store. Just take someone to the grocery store with you. Isaiah 54, verse 2. I love this. Actually, for about a year, would read and pray this over my life, Isaiah 54. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide, wide. Do not hold back. Don't bury it. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. The Message translation says this, spread out and think big. God will expand your capacity to be able to reach and disciple more people, but you got to start somewhere. Start with the one person around you, right? Start with your one neighbor that goes to get the mail the same time you go get the mail. You know, they just so happen to drag in their, or maybe you run out when they're dragging in their garbage pails. You run out there too. You know, oh, we're on the same timing. And you just start speaking their life. Come on over. We're having, hey, who doesn't like free barbecue? I love barbecue. Oh my gosh. You know, come on over barbecuing and just start sharing life with them. Share your story. Share what God has done in their life. If you need more time in your life, ask the Lord to expand your capacity. Stretch my life, Lord God. And he might say, hey, maybe an hour less on social media a week and you might find someone to disciple. All right, we're going to go back to the parable here. Luke 19, verse 20. But the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, Master, I hid your money and kept it safe. I was afraid. So many of you are thinking, oh, I only got this little old bag. This little old bag that is me. Remember, in this parable, everybody got the same amount of money. I'm just average. I'm just ordinary. You know, I've got an ordinary marriage, an ordinary job, ordinary education. I haven't led much. I can barely lead myself. I haven't found much money or success in life. I don't know much of the Bible. I definitely don't know theology. I have mostly skeletons in my treasure chest. I'm just an average one-bagger. I don't want to mess anyone else's life up because I've made a lot of mistakes as a mentor. So I think I'll just play it safe and bury it. So I want to jump to the other parable, very similar to this one, Matthew 25, 25 through 26, New Living Translation. The servant said, with the one bag, right? I was afraid and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Ouch, wow. Jesus said some hard things, and we like to tear them out of the Bible. There's so much people like to tear out of the Bible. They only like to, you know, post the scripture of the day of just a lot of love and sugar and stuff, but there's some hard truth in the Bible. It's called growing. How many people understand growing pains? Hard stuff makes you grow. So this is a very similar parable of the talent, and I want you to go back and read them and just ask who you are in the midst of it. Where he's hiding the story and talents of his life, the treasure that is you, right? The precious lives, stories, the experiences, the buried legacy. And God is so frustrated in this parable to the point of anger. And he just calls out your excuse. He said, you're just lazy. Luke 19, 22. You wicked servant. We'll go back to the other parable. The king roared. He's not taking this lightly. Why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest in it. Then turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. But master, they said, he already has 10 pounds. Yes, the king replied, but to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what the little they have will be taken away. Now, I want you to notice there's a very stark contrast to how he talks to the servant. He's just insecure, comparing himself to someone. Oh, I don't have much to give. Oh, I'm just average. You know, I just want to play it safe. You know, my story is not so good. I don't think it gives a lot of glory to God. I was really on the long path for the wrong path for the majority of my life. And God goes, oh, that's the treasure of it all because you came home. Because there's a whole world that hasn't figured out how to come home yet. Matthew 25, verse 21, New Living Translation. So compare God's response, the frustration, the anger of just being lazy and insecure, to his response, the other one that just put a try on it, my husband likes to say, just put a try on it. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the few things, the little that you got. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So I want to end on this thought of how much God in his heart just lights up when he looks at someone who invests the very little that they have into the people, into the world around them. Come join my happiness that you invested the little that you have in someone else's life. And their life is starting to change because of it, because you took a risk. These parables are really all about the opportunity, but it's really, once again, our responsibility to go all in and fully invest our lives into the others coming up behind us. Maybe just a little bit younger, maybe just not walking with the Lord quite as long. And you push yourself past your insecurity, past your excuses, past what's comfortable in your little world, and you push yourself to go all in and pour into them. your stories, your wisdom, your insight, your hopes, your dreams, your failures, your losses, and you share your walk with Jesus with them. And you say, follow me as I follow Christ. I don't got it all figured out, but we're going to figure it out together. And watch as the people around you and the world around you starts to transform. And the grace of God, his divine empowerment to do what we cannot do in our own strength, who is greatest in our weakness, comes in like a flood and gives you the capacity to stretch your arms a little bit wider, to let a few more people into the treasure chest of your life. And then the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, pours out because we're willing. So I want to end with this question, and you can all stand up. I'm going to end early today. I just want everybody to close your eyes. And I ended early. I prayed. I had like the longest sermon. I said, Brad, just pray with me. I end early because I wanted you to have a little time to not rush out with the excuse, I'm really busy and you don't know what I have to do. To consider this question. What are you going to do with the treasure that is you? Would you take courage and open up the lid of your treasure chest and air the skeletons, the failures, the hurts, the pains, the tragedy, the losses, along with the goodness and the faithfulness of God? How he's true to his word. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will never leave you or forsake you. He never abandoned you where others have. But just because others have doesn't mean that you close off the treasure chest that is you and don't let other people into it. It's time to forgive and surrender those insecurities to the Lord. It's time to throw out the excuse of I'm too busy. What are you going to do with the treasure that is you? And I want everyone just right now to open up just your heart and your mind right now. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. If you pray in the Spirit, in your prayer language, feel free, just quietly as we listen to worship. It's just a way sometimes that the Lord can just convey truth to us and ask to interpret it. Holy Spirit, who would you have us to pour our lives into? Holy Spirit, who would you have us to invite into our world this week? Holy Spirit, who do you want us to connect with in the divine appointment, Lord God? Who would you have us mentor, disciple, become a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, a spiritual aunt, auntie, or a spiritual uncle, or the friend they've always hoped and prayed for? But you're like, but Pastor Sherry, I want someone to do that for me. No one ever did that to me. Why can't someone do that to me? Remember Paul? He wanted that too, and no one did, and he went right to the source. And he walked with the Lord, and by the grace of God, he became one of the greatest spiritual fathers of that day. And he became, for someone else, what he always wanted. And he found a Timothy. All of us would love to be Timothy. All of us would love someone to mentor us and pour into us. But I'll tell you, look for the grace of God right now and just say, I will become for someone else something that I always wanted. And God will pour supernatural grace into you and great blessing and wisdom and gifting. Spiritual gifts will open up to you like you've never had before when you look to pour. We talked about that last week, right? The more vessels that you pour into, the more it keeps flowing. If you limit the vessels around you, we quench the spirit. What are you going to do with the treasure that is you? Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are showing faces. God talks to me in pictures. I didn't really realize that till later in life. You might just be seeing a face, just a fuzzy little daydream in your heart. You might just be thinking of someone's name. Someone's just coming to mind. And I want to say, when we're done praying, I want you to write that name down. And I don't want to let the sun go down until you contact them. Ask them to meet you for lunch. Join in your barbecue tomorrow. And every week, reach out. And yeah, they're probably going to shoot you down. So don't lick your wounds and say, oh, I don't want to hang out. That's just their insecurity and it's feeding into yours. Just go, hey, do you want to do lunch? Give them 3 dates. And if they shoot you down for each one, say, do you want to do dinner? Give them 3 dates. Eventually, you wear them down and the blessing comes in like a flood. Welcome to discipleship. Well, Lord God, we just love you so much. And Lord, I thank you for giving us grace and creative ideas to reach people, to pour into people, to be your hands and feet, because you answer prayers through people. We surrender our lives to you. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Grab lunch with someone.